Blog Talk Radio.
Listen. Think. Learn.
This is Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly.
Hello and welcome to Empower the Spirit. Today is Sunday, June 27th, 2010. That's a long time in the future. I'm your host, Doug Kelly. So glad you could join me. Empower the Spirit is a weekly broadcast of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. It's our mission to explore and empower the human spirit. This show addresses metaphysical topics, but in a different way. Metaphysical topics with practical life skills attached. It's a show about enhancing the human condition, both spiritually and physically. Each week, you can ask questions if you like in the chat room if you're a live listener, and I will try to address those questions on the air. If you are not a live listener or if you just want to send in a question, you can do that. You can email it to me at admin@mchschurch.org. I'll repeat that at the end of the show as well. This week's topic is how to solve problems and find solutions. It is an expansion of MCHS principle of belief number 3. Now that belief is this, that number 3 belief. This is the basis for this show. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. There's more on this at mchschurch.org in the blog if you would like to read that. So let's get into the meat of this topic, and it's really about finding solutions to problems in life. The one thing that we must understand is that we already have what it takes within us to find our solutions, to solve our problems. We talked about the indomitable power of the human spirit last week and in other broadcasts as well. We've got what it takes. We have the answers within us. We have the strength to do these things, to find these solutions. In fact, as a race, as a human race, for perhaps the first time in history, we have the technology and the resources as a global community to wipe out worldwide hunger, homelessness, poverty, illiteracy, and even the depletion of Earth's natural resources. And that's not to mention the many illnesses and childhood diseases that are around, especially in third world countries. And any of these diseases and illnesses that we can't currently cure, they're only time and research away. I mean, think about it. This is an unprecedented time in history. If we would stop funneling all the money to killing each other, we could allocate those resources to helping each other. Of course, you know, I'm probably preaching to the choir and not saying anything that hasn't been said 1,000 times. But along with power and that we have within, this great power that we have within our spirit, also comes great responsibility. And we as a race have a responsibility to solve our problems. And we share in community responsibility for the things done right and the things done wrong. You know, it's the epitome of irresponsibility to expect somebody else to solve our problems, whether that someone else is God or an alien species or anybody. We alone are responsible for our problems. They're ours. And we are morally entitled to the right of learning the lessons and becoming more enlightened as a result of solving those problems. Now, that's a big point, so I'm going to repeat it. We are morally entitled to the right of learning the lessons and becoming more enlightened as a result of solving those problems. This may be a little bit of a different perspective on things, but when we solve our problems, we grow, don't we? And we don't want to give that up. That's ours. That's a precious gift. And so we can apply this to the problems we face in our personal lives as well. We don't want somebody else to come in and offer up a solution on a silver platter because it does us no good. we don't really learn anything when that happens. So we want to take a look at our problems and see what we can do to solve them and in the process grow. So let's talk about solving our own problems, finding solutions to those issues that we have in life. First off, James Allen, who wrote the book As a Man Thinketh, an excellent book, a short book. It's available in bookstores, it's even available online for free, and published, I believe, in 1902. He made an incredible point. I find it an incredible point. I read it many years ago, and it really threw a whole different perspective on my life and in problem solving. He basically said that any time we are in a circumstance or situation that we don't like, we need to learn the spiritual lesson contained in the circumstance, and when we do that, that circumstance passes. Now, that really incites another concept, and I'm going to repeat what he said too, just so we can make sure we're on the same page. James Allen says, whenever we're in a circumstance or situation we don't like, when we learn the spiritual lesson contained in that circumstance, it passes. And then we're able to move on to new learning opportunities. Well, that begs a question. What does it mean to learn the spiritual lesson? Now, we're not talking about religious lesson. We're talking about the spiritual lesson within us. What does it mean to learn something? And the question is, can you know something and yet not have learned something? And the answer to that question is yes. How many times have we said, wow, I'm not going to do that again, but we do, or, man, I shouldn't do that, or I should do something and we don't, vice versa, whichever. We can know a lesson and yet not have learned that lesson. Something special happens when we learn a lesson. What is it? We change. When we learn a lesson, we change. And when we change, our circumstances follow suit. Now, it doesn't always happen overnight, of course. I mean, it takes a little bit of lag time there for reality to catch up. But when we change our thinking, we change our mindset, our paradigm, and we change our actions. Therefore, the net result is that the circumstance passes and it goes away. And then we have new learning opportunities. A powerful point in that book, As a Man Thinketh, by James Allen. Now, I want to go over four basic steps to problem solving and solution finding. And as I go through each of these steps, I'm going to kind of expand them a little bit, explain them, and I'm going to give you a quick overview of these four steps. The first one is to have your statements, to write problem and outcome statements. The second step is due diligence. The third step is to discover solutions. The fourth step is to implement those solutions. So let's talk about those four steps a little more in depth here. The first one is problem and outcome statements. The goal is to clarify the specific problem in an emotionally detached way. What this means is you've got to get your problem down on paper, so to speak. Write a concise statement, concise, that reflects the current situation or the problem and the desired situation or the outcome. So you want to get down on paper, what's the problem, in as few words as possible, and as specific as possible. And then what do you want? What situation do you desire? Be sure to write your statements objectively, not subjectively. Now, what does that mean? It simply means stick to the facts. Get rid of the emotions. No value judgments in it. Just leave your emotions out of it. Write it down as if a computer would write it down, you know. Maybe you've got a problem in a relationship. Don't write a problem like, you know, that jerk friend of mine is too selfish and blah, blah, blah to have a decent relationship. An objective way of writing that might be, my relationship with so-and-so is tending toward different perspectives on things. In other words, be objective, leave the emotions out of it. Inventor Charles F. Kettering, who is responsible for the invention of the electric starter motor and Freon, as a matter of fact, he had a great quote, and he wrote, a problem well stated is a problem half solved. A problem well stated is a problem half solved. So make sure that you state your problem in a concise way without emotion, and that you also write down what you want, what's the desired outcome. All right, let's go to step number two. So we just talked about step one, write down your current situation, the problem, and the desired outcome. The second step is due diligence, and the goal is to dissect the problem to obtain an accurate understanding, kind of in line with Kettering's statement, a problem well stated is a problem half solved. Answer the following questions, and you better to do this on paper too. Why is this problem a problem? Why is this problem a problem? List all the potential reasons why this problem is occurring. Is this problem objective or subjective? In other words, is this a real problem, or is this a problem just in my mind? That's a big question, because a lot of times we think a problem is a real problem when it's really just a problem in our mind. So if it's a real problem, that's an objective problem. If it's just a problem in our mind, that's a subjective problem. And if it's subjective, just let it go, because it's not really a problem. It's a problem perhaps with you. Make sure that any problems that you have are real and objective and not just a problem in your thinking. Here's another question that you'll want to ask in doing your due diligence in exploring this problem. What are the consequences of not resolving this problem? What are the consequences of not resolving this problem? If you did nothing and it continued, what would happen? Would anything of consequence really happen? And again, if the answer is no, then it's not really a problem. Ask yourself also, what are the benefits of solving this problem? List all of the benefits to you and to everybody concerned. You really want to explore this problem to understand it on as many levels as you can. All right, so we've talked about step one, your problem and outcome statements, stating the current problem and the outcome that you want. Step two is due diligence, dissecting it, asking questions, why is it a problem? Step three, discover solutions. And this step three continues with the due diligence in a sense, because we're going to still continue to examine this problem in a more in-depth way. So here's the goal of step three, to uncover the most logical and appropriate solutions. Now bear in mind that a single problem may, and often does, have more than one solution. So ask yourself these questions, again, better on paper to kind of think it through. Ask yourself these two questions, and what would have to change about this problem in order to resolve it? Now here's a big question. What would I do if there was no downside, nothing to lose? If I had nothing to lose, what would I do to solve this problem? Now this whole step three is really a creative process. You're really looking for possible solutions. And so you ask these questions. What would have to change about this problem in order to resolve it? What would I do if there was no downside? If I had nothing to lose, what would I do to solve this problem? List all of the alternatives that you come up with, no matter how unlikely they might be. Don't consider consequences at this point. Just write down all the alternatives you come up with. You can also brainstorm this with a confidant or a friend or something like that. It can often help you. Now, here's where you're going to kind of spin it. Years ago, I came up with what I call the 180 principle. The 180 principle is simply a way of looking at your problems from a different perspective. It's a contrarian approach. You look at it from the other side. You flip it 180 degrees, so to speak. In order to do this, ask yourself these questions. What should I not do to resolve this problem and why? What's a completely unorthodox approach to solving this problem? I mean, what's a silly approach? What's a stupid approach? Again, we're not dealing with consequences right now. We're just trying to creatively brainstorm. when you ask, what should I not do? What would be the absolute stupidest thing to do? What would be a completely opposite thing to do? When you kind of think about those things, alternatives should manifest that you may not have considered. And sometimes the answer lies in a direction that you did not think likely. This often happens. And you can kind of get the gist of this by just taking a look at your current vantage point. Wherever you're sitting or looking, you're looking at that view, whether it's in your house or in your car, you're looking at that view from a particular angle or position or direction, aren't you? Well, if you move 10 or 20 feet to the right, you have a different perspective on things, don't you? And that's the whole point of this problem solving, is to get a different perspective. So in step 3 here, discover your solutions. You can also do a T-chart with pros on one side, cons on the other side. List them all. Contemplate your potential answers to try to ascertain or find the best solution of the alternatives you came up with. All right, that brings us into step 4, and that's simply to implement the solution. You got to put your solution into action, and then you come back and you reassess it. You establish an action plan, follow up, reassess, and adjust as necessary. So I've talked about these 4 steps. The first one is state your problems, your problem or and outcome. You want, what's the problem? What's the outcome I desire? Step 2 is do your due diligence. Ask questions like, why is this problem a problem? If it's only a problem in your mind, it's not really a problem, so to speak. Step 3 is discover solutions. What would have to happen for this to be resolved? What would I do if there was no downside? And then flip it. What would be the worst thing to do to solve this problem? What would be the stupidest thing? And then step 4, implement those solutions. So those are the 4 basic steps. Now let's talk about a couple of other little points that go along with these. Your attitude toward problem solving can make a huge difference in your success at solving your problems. Many years ago, 20 plus years ago, when I was facing a particular problem and analyzing it, it dawned on me a certain principle, and I call it just principle. That's not what I call it. Here's the principle. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. Now think about that in regard to your problems. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. That simply means that if you want it blue and I want it green, I am not going to get into a big fight with you about it. It just doesn't matter. It kind of goes along with that principle of choosing your battles. And it also goes along with this problem you have may be just a problem in your mind. It may be a problem of preference. And if it is, let it go, because it's not worth the energy input. You're investing energy into a problem that's a matter of preference. It just doesn't matter. Now, on the flip side, if you're in a situation where you're always having to yield to preference, now we're getting into the area of principle, because everything's got to be a give and take, right? Everything's got to be win-win. So remember that principle. If it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. Never resolve yourself to the negative attitude of that's too hard. Rather, ask yourself, how hard can it be? Don't be one of those people who say, oh, that's too hard, it can't be done. That's just not a good place to be. Ask, how hard can it be? Folks, people just like you and me put men on the moon, unless you're a conspiracy theorist, and we didn't. But the point is we can do anything we want to do. We have the indomitable power of the human spirit. So don't get into the negative thinking that it's too hard. That's honestly just a loser's limp, as Zig Ziglar would call it. Sometimes I've had coaching clients that have told me they can't do something, and they repeated, oh, I can't do this. Every time I suggest something, I can't do that, and they give me every reason in the book why they can't do something. And I very directly but kindly tell them, look, I don't want to hear all the reasons why you can't do something. I want to hear all the reasons why you can do it. Be one of those people that makes things happen. Find a way, because that's in keeping with the indomitable power of the human spirit. Now, what if you search and search and search, and you just can't come up with a solution, no matter how hard you try? Well, take heart in the words of Voltaire, no problem can withstand the assault of sustained thinking. No problem can withstand the assault of sustained thinking. And this is true. Step back a little bit. If you're in this situation, you just can't see any kind of a solution. Step back, take a look at the bigger picture. You know the old analogy, you can't see the forest because of the trees. So step back and look at the whole bigger picture. Now, again, a confidant or a friend or even a therapist or a coach or a counselor can all help us with a different perspective, but make sure it's somebody that you have some confidence in and that you trust. I want to share something that I learned firsthand in my life, and I mean, this is a huge point for me because I learned it personally. And here it is. Sometimes the solution you are looking for lies outside of your belief system. Sometimes the solution that you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. Ponder this deeply. It means that you're missing viable options or solutions because you maintain certain beliefs that keep you stuck. I'll give you an example, and I'll tell you exactly where I learned this lesson. For 40 years of my life, as many of you know or may know, I was involved in a religion, a cult as I call it now. All my family was, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, parents, everybody, friends I ever knew. My whole life was wrapped up in this. I was a minister. And I was also in an alcoholic marriage. My wife had become an alcoholic. It was killing us. My son and I, it was just absolutely terror in the home. And if you've been through that, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, my problem was I didn't have too many solutions because I adhered to the Bible, which says in so many words, God hates a divorcing. Divorce was absolutely out of the question. She wouldn't get help. I'm making a very short story out of this. She wouldn't get help. I was left with no solutions. Why? Because the solution was outside of my belief system. My belief system said that God hates a divorcing, that divorce was not an option. And at the same time, I was dying, and so was my son, from the problems and the terror in the home behind closed doors that she was causing due to her drinking. Only when I expanded my belief system and went outside of my belief system did I find a viable solution, and that was you leave the relationship, because there is no other solution. Either the person's willing to recover or they're not, and if they're not, there is no other solution than to split, to part ways, and that's exactly what I had to do, and that was the solution to my problem. But the point that I'm trying to get across is that sometimes the solution you're looking for lies outside of your belief system. So go outside of your belief system if you're having a tough time coming up with solutions, because that's likely where the solution lies. And frankly, when you do that, you expand your awareness, you expand your consciousness, you enhance your own situation, and you evolve as a human being. This is also supported by a quote that Einstein said, "A problem cannot be solved with the same mind that created it." A problem cannot be solved with the same mind that created it. Therefore, you've got to go outside of that to look for viable solutions. All right, so we've talked about some techniques and tips and tools for finding solutions. We talked about four steps. Step one, write down your problem and outcome statements in an objective manner without emotion. Remain detached that way. Step two, do your due diligence. Dissect the problem to obtain an accurate understanding. Ask yourself questions like, why is this problem a problem? Is it only a problem in my mind? That kind of thing. What are the consequences of not resolving this? What are the benefits of resolving it? Step three, discover solutions. What are the most logical solutions? What would have to change in order for this to be resolved? What would be the stupidest thing to do? That's the 180 principle, to flip it, the contrarian approach. And step four is to implement the solutions. And don't forget, sometimes a solution lies outside of your belief system. All right. So, the fact of the matter is that there is a solution to every problem, and that lies in enhancing the human condition. It lies in exploring the human condition and understanding ourselves and human nature. Admittedly, we may not be able to affect massive changes around the world, but the one thing that we can do is solve our own problems and have a positive effect on those people who are within our sphere of influence. So bear these things in mind, and if you have some questions, you have a problem that you'd like a second opinion on or a different perspective on, you're more than welcome to email those to me. You can send them to admin@mchschurch.org. You can also go to the website mchschurch.org and use the contact form to email me. Everything's kept in privacy and confidentiality. I can address those questions on the air, and I can also reply by way of email. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking about one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. And I'm going to really expand on diversity and inequality among genders and cultures. And this is an expansion of MCHS principle of belief number four. Again, send me your questions if you have them. Please tell your friends about this radio broadcast. And if you like it, why not leave a comment on the show page once we are finished? If you also like what you're hearing, I invite you to join the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. You can find us again at mchschurch.org. There's a link on the Blog Talk Radio page that you are listening to now. You also might want to visit metaphysicsinstitute.org, where there are a number of classes and a degree program will be available later this summer, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. Well, that pretty much wraps up another edition of Empower the Spirit. I thank you for taking the time to join me, and I hope that you'll join me next Sunday at 11 a.m. for another show. Until then, this is Doug Kelly encouraging you to listen, think, learn, grow, and live. I hope you have an awesome day. Take care and thanks.
This has been Empower the Spirit with Dr. Douglas Kelly. To learn more about the concepts presented in this program, visit mchschurch.com. To take a metaphysics course or to get your metaphysics degree, visit metaphysicsinstitute.com.
Empower the Spirit is a production of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, Incorporated. Copyright 2010. Visit us on the web at mchschurch.org.